Today we're going to be thinking about this idea of wanted, a good man. Now in Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 29 and 30, the Bible says, "The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." Now we're all very familiar with the concept of want ads. People will run personal ads looking for a good man, a single man, a Christian man. God sent a want ad out to Israel, and it's recorded here in Ezekiel. Just one good man was wanted to stand in the gap. Unfortunately, in our society, there are fewer and fewer men who are willing to serve the Lord, be a rock for their families, and love God and their neighbors. We need men, I suggest to you this morning, we need men who in the first place are willing to lean. They're willing to lean. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." There are too many who rely on their own strength. They lean on their own accomplishments. But the Bible said that we need to not lean on our own understanding, but we need to lean and trust on the Lord. So many men in our day have wandered away from God because of their own pride, because of their trust in their own abilities or their own accomplishments or their own possessions or riches or in their own mental and intellectual capabilities. We need men who'll get back to leaning on the Lord, who really does all the supplying. Jeremiah 9, 23-24, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." In Job 15, verse 8, the Bible says, "Have you heard the counsel of God? Do you limit wisdom to yourself?" We need to lay aside our own wisdom. Stop leaning on our own intelligence and start leaning on the Lord. We must remember where that house and that car and that food and those clothes really came from. James 1:17. "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Job said in Job 12, 9-10, "Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, in whose hand is the life of every living being and the breath of all mankind?" Listen, we need to learn humility. We need to stop saying, "Well, this food's mine, and why should I thank the Lord? I worked hard to do this." But every breath you take is from the Lord. If it wasn't for the Lord, you wouldn't have the strength. You wouldn't have the breath. You wouldn't have the life to work that job and to earn that money. You thank the Lord for the blessings that He has bestowed upon you. We need to learn humility. The Lord taught in Matthew 18, 3 and 4, that we need the humility of a child. Just like a child trusts so much in his father and leans on his father. Oh, how we need to learn to lay aside our pride and to lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. In filling the gap, we need men who are learning to lean. Number two, we need men who are willing not only to lean, but who are willing to love. Now, love is preeminent. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul talked about love, and he talked about all these great accomplishments that he might accomplish. He might even give his body to be burned. He might have all knowledge and all understanding. He might be able to speak with the tongues of men and of angels. He said, "But if I have not love, I am nothing." We need men who are willing to love today. We need men who are willing to love their parents. Now, there's nothing wrong with nursing home facilities. There are many people whose parents get to such a state that they are better off living there. They have better care. They're happier there. But what about the people who just dump them there and just leave them there and never come to care for them and never come to visit them and never do anything for them. Oh, we need men who are willing to love their parents, to stand up and take responsibility and to do good for their parents in their older years. We need men who are willing to honor their father and mother even when they leave the home and go out into the world. We need them to continue to love their mom, to call their parents, to do what they can to help out their parents in their aging years. In Ephesians 6 verse 2, the Bible says, honor your father and mother, which is the first great first commandment with promise. We need to honor and love our parents. That honor is displayed by our love for them. Men need to love their wives. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, the Apostle Paul is drawing an analogy. The analogy is between Christ and the church as compared with the husband to his wife. And the Apostle Paul says there that men, husbands, ought to love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Beginning verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And so husbands ought to love their wives, and it ought to be a sacrificial love. Listen, the divorce rate in this country is just out of control. There ought to be no divorce rate. Everybody ought to keep their commitment. Everybody ought to stick to the oath that they make and stand by their wives and stay married to them until they die. That's the way it ought to be. And if we really love our wives, that's the way it will be. It is a shame that in this nation, the divorce rate averages about 50%. That about half of all marriages fail. There are men who say things, and they've told me before, well, I just don't love her anymore. Well, my response to that is, when are you going to repent of that? Because what we find here in Ephesians 5:25 is a command. It is a command. God commands the husband, love your wives. Love your wives. That's a command. Love isn't just that silly feeling we get in our stomachs or that queasy feeling we get in our heads when we're falling in love. But love is something that must be nourished. It must be cherished. It must be worked on throughout life. There are men who leave their wives and say, well, I have a right to be happy. Listen, who told you you have that right? It's nice if we can be happy in life, but who told you you have that right? Listen, you need to learn to love your wife, and if you love your wife, you will be happy. You're not, if you haven't found happiness with the wife you have now, you're not going to find happiness with the one you want to leave your wife for. First Peter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands, dwell with them with understanding. That may be one of the hardest commandments given in Scripture, but it's one we're going to have to learn. Learn to be understanding of your wives, husbands. Somebody once said that marriages would last much better if husbands tried to understand more about their wives and wives tried to understand more about football. Listen, husbands, dwell with them in understanding. Love your parents, love your wives, and love your children. In Romans 1, the Apostle Paul writes about a society on whom God had turned his back. He had just given them over to all these disgusting sins. Such a long list of sins there. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 31, we find this phrase, unloving. Now, in the old translation, it says more literally, without natural affection. The Greek is astorgos. It's those people who just don't have the natural kind of love that ought to just naturally exist for their own children. We hear about deadbeat dads. They will not work to support their children. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. Or they'll run off and abandon their wives and their children. Or they will abuse their children. Or they will refuse to discipline their children. The Proverbs writer said in Proverbs 13:24, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." And yet so many today are listening to the wisdom of this age, which tells people, oh, you should never spank your child. You should never whip your child. It doesn't work. Let me tell you something. And God says it works. And God says to not do that is actually an act of hatred. Now, I am not a promoter of abusing children, and I think many parents do abuse their children, and they abuse the act of discipline. But good, firm, loving discipline toward a child is an act of love, not an act of hatred. And God says it works. We need men who are willing to love their children the way God said to love them. In filling the gap, we need men who are willing to lean. We need men who are willing to love. And we need men who are willing to lead. Lead. We need men who are willing to stand up and be the head of the family. They need to take charge in their family. Many men have bowed down to the women's rights organizations. Women have rights, and women are certainly not inferior to men, nor are men superior to women, but God has given men a different role than women have. The Bible says again in Ephesians 5:22-23, that wives are to be submissive to their husbands, that the husband is the head of the wife. Now that is God's way. Men need to take the lead over their children. In Ephesians 6:4, the Bible says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Too many men just want to hand this over to the wife, or they want to leave it up to the church. It's not their job. It's the man's job to teach his children. You need to sit down and study the Word of God with your child every day. You need to sit down and pray with your child every day. Men, lead your family in daily Bible reading, in daily Bible study, in daily prayer. Be a leader in your family. Please stand up and lead. Oh, how our children need to be led today. They need good, proper, bold, firm, spiritual leadership, and they need to get it from their fathers. They need to get it from the head of the household. They need to get it from the man of the mansion. We need men to lead in the church. We need song leaders and class teachers and those who lead in prayer. We need men to strive to be elders. 1 Timothy 3:1, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he does desires a good work. The idea is aspiring to be one, not just that the church says one day, oh, we need to have elders, let's see if we have some men that meet these qualifications. No, we need young men who aspire from a young age to study these qualifications given in 1 Timothy 3 and to aspire to meet them so that they may one day serve as an elder in the church of the Lord. Oh, how we need leaders. Men who are willing to lead to fill that gap. God sent out a want ad to Israel. He sends out a want ad to America. And he says he's trying to find someone who will build a wall and who will stand in the gap. Will he come to the same conclusion that he found in Israel? But I did not find one. We need men who are willing to lean. Lean on the Lord. We need men who are willing to love. And we need men who are willing to lead. Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd like to share with you what the Bible says one must do in order to become a child of God. It begins by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. After this, one must believe what he has heard. The Lord said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. After hearing and believing, one must be willing to repent of his sins. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter commanded those men to repent. After hearing, believing, and repenting, one needs to be willing to confess his faith. Romans 10:9-10 teaches that with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. After doing these things, one must be willing to be baptized. The Bible says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism is that point that connects our sins with the blood of Christ, which then washes them away. Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22:16, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." How about you? Why are you waiting? If we can assist you in doing these things, we'd love to have you contact us. This message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. You can listen to hundreds of my sermons at our website, defendthegospel.com. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You would be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road in Smyrna, Tennessee. We'd like to thank you for listening, and please tune in again next week at 10:45. Have a wonderful day.